April, a missionary nun was flying to her new assignment, a remote mission in Alaska's bush country. With the pilot of a small plane, and she was the only passenger. Suddenly, the pilot clutched his chest and slumped over. Frantically, the nun grabbed the radio and yelled, "Mayday, mayday, this is Sister Susan. Help me. Someone, please help me. My pilot had a heart attack. I don't know how to fly. Someone, anyone, please help." And a voice came over the radio. "This is air traffic control, and I hear you loud and clear, sister. I'll talk you through this and get you back to the ground safely. I've had a lot of experience with this kind of problem. Everything will be fine. Now give me your altitude and your location." Sister Susan said, "I'm 5'4" tall, and I'm in the front seat." "Okay," said the voice on the radio calmly, "repeat after me. Hail Mary, full of grace." Let's pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray the prayer called the Angelic Salutation, also known as the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, all you heavenly powers, Mary's legion of angels, our holy guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, what an appropriate day to be here on this feast day of the Archangels, Saints Michael, Saint Gabriel, and Saint Raphael. Today is September 29th. I want to thank Maureen for inviting me and to begin this week of international prayer and fasting, as we especially pray for the conversion of our country, the conversion of the world. We pray for the purification of the church, for the church's healing, transformation, cleansing, and purification for the church in our country and throughout the world. So today we will talk about the holy angels, the angels in our life, in the life of the church, and in the life of the world today. You know, holy angels are so important. They are mentioned 273 times in the Bible. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New Testament. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, angels are present. And we need to develop the relationship with our own guardian angel and with the angels as a whole in this time of spiritual warfare. As you know, the church triumphant is in heaven, the church sufferings in purgatory, the church militant is on earth, and we are the ground troops. We're God's army. We're God's and our Blessed Mother's legionaries. But imagine an army without an air force. That's what the angels are. They're the air force. If we're trying to win a spiritual battle with just the ground troops, we're not going to be effective. We need the air force, the angels, to be with us and to constantly be helping us in our battle for the salvation of souls. According to a 2016 Gallup poll, 72% of Americans believe in angels and in guardian angels. So we should make use of that and to have our guardian angels help us to evangelize and to spread the faith and to transform society and to help heal the church at this time in the world. Jesus himself said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." So there he indicates that each person does have a guardian angel. Now, what is an angel? Angels are pure spirits of intellect and free will made in the image and likeness of God. Angels are persons. They are spiritual beings, pure spirits of intellect and free will. They, of course, do not have bodies. But as Scott Hahn says, even though they do not have bodies, they're not nobodies. They are persons. And each angel is unique in and of itself. Each angel is its own species. Each angel is a unique world in itself, a unique creation of God, an incredible creation of God. We know that angels, the word angel, comes from the Greek word angelos, which means a messenger. So angels are pure spirits, but their role is to be messengers between God and the human race. We think of the night of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. It says the angels were sent by God to reveal a great message that the Messiah was born. It says in Luke chapter 2, "For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah and the Lord." And then the host of angels, which means a countless multitude of angels, appeared, filling the skies and joyfully praising God. So the angels announced the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Lord. The Catechism says that from its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by the watchful care and intercession of the angels. It's a doctrine of the faith that we believe in angels and in guardian angels. It says, from the beginning of our human life, all throughout our life, we are surrounded by the watchful care and intercession of the angels. St. Augustine, the great doctor and father of the church, say that angels, our guardian angels, are as close to us as our own shadows. That's how close our guardian angel is to each one of us, as close as our own shadows. St. Augustine also wrote, "If we journey into another country, they follow us. Go where we will, by land or by sea, they are ever with us all day long and all night long and during every moment of our life." Now, these angels are invisible protectors. They do help to protect us from physical harm, but most importantly, they are there to protect us from spiritual harm. They try to influence our minds and our hearts, but it's a very subtle, gentle influence. They respect our freedom. They respect our free will. Their primary concern is to keep us on the path towards God and towards heaven. The church has also said that God has angels to guard cities, nations, churches, and sacred places. This is found in the Old Testament and also, of course, in the message of Fatima. In the Old Testament, Saint Michael was the special guardian protector of the chosen people, the Israelites. In 1886, Pope Leo XIII, after a prophetic vision, composed a prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel and asked that it be said at the end of every Mass to protect the Church and all believers, especially into the 21st century, because he knew that it was going to be a century of great evil and great terror and great horror. And so he said, we need the prayers and intercession of the angels, especially Saint Michael the Archangel, to protect us in the next century, he said. In the Nicene Creed, we affirm our faith in God and our belief in the angels. We say that God is the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. The angels are part of God's invisible creation, God's invisible world that he has created. Angels are created beings, created by God, but they are pure spirits, second only to God as far as intelligence. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that. He says, among other creatures, the angels are nearest to God and resemble him most because they are pure spirits. He writes, they are radiant and they reflect God's glory and God's light. Oftentimes, angels in Scripture appear in human form so that people can understand and relate to them and understand the language that they speak. From the 4th century on, artists began to draw angels with wings to explain their ability to travel at the speed of thought and to explain their power and their freedom. And the theologians also tell us that each angel has a unique personality, has free will and the ability to know and to love. And the church has always taught that before God created the heavens and the earth, before God created the human race, He created the world of angels. And these angels were given a choice to accept and follow God or to reject God. Their choice was a permanent, eternal decision. And according to the book of Revelation, when it talks about the dragon sweeping a third of the stars from the sky, it's been the tradition that about a third of the angels rebelled against God and became fallen angels or demons. But two-thirds, as far as we know, remained faithful to God and continued to love and serve God. When we think of the angels in the lives of the saints, we look back at St. Gregory the Great, the famous Pope and theologian and doctor of the church. Every day, Pope Gregory would go out into the streets of Rome, and he would choose 12 poor people, 12 beggars, and he would feed them. On one day, a 13th person was there, a beggar who was actually his angel. And this angel told Gregory that because of his charity, God has given you the chair of St. Peter and sent me to be your guardian as long as you remain in this world. And then the angel disappeared. You know the story of St. Joan of Arc. In this little French village in France in 1425, this 13-year-old girl began having visions from St. Michael the Archangel and her own guardian angel. And to prepare this young, humble girl to lead the French armies to turn back the English invasion, she also helped the heir to the French throne become king. Joan, in her trial, admitted hearing heavenly voices and talking to angels and the saints. She said, "I saw them with my bodily eyes as clearly as I see you," she admitted. "And when they departed, I used to weep and wish they would take me with them." Of course, Joan was later canonized and declared the patron saint of France. Some of you know Saint Gemma Galgani, the beautiful young woman who, after her parents died, had to raise her younger siblings. She could daily converse with her holy guardian angel. She could actually see her guardian angel and converse with her guardian angel. And according to her spiritual director and confessor who lived in Rome, the priest would receive letters on his desk that no one would ever see delivered. Apparently this was the guardian angel postal service. The guardian angel would take these letters from where she was in Italy and place them on the desk of her spiritual director. St. Gemma died young, was canonized, and was a mystic and a stigmatist and a great saint in the church. Pope St. John the 23rd, when he would welcome bishops, once a brand new bishop told St. John the 23rd that he was having trouble sleeping because of his new job as a bishop. And Pope John confessed that he also had suffered from insomnia when he first became pope. And then he said, quote, "One day, my guardian angel appeared to me in a dream and whispered, 'Giovanni, don't take yourself so seriously.' Ever since," the pope said as he smiled, "I was able to sleep." So the pope had a great devotion to his holy guardian angel. Now, when we look at the angels, we know that there are 9 choirs of angels. This has been in scholastic theology for a number of centuries, going way back to Pseudo-Dionysius, about the year 500. He went through the Old Testament and New Testament, and he put together what's called the 9 choirs of angels. The first 3 choirs are found in the Old Testament. The next 6 are listed in the writings of St. Paul. Now, the 9 choirs of angels rank these angels into 3 ranks or 3 rings of angels. The 3 highest choirs of angels are called the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. And these ranks of angels are immediately before God in his presence, contemplating the essence of God. And they see God directly as he sees himself. The seraphim, though that word means the burning ones, those on fire with the warmth of God's love, burning love of God, possess the most perfect knowledge of God, and they are aflame with love for God. So they are the highest rank, the seraphim. Next are the cherubim. The name cherubim means the fullness of knowledge or overflowing in wisdom, and they contemplate God's goodness and God's divine providence in the world. And then come the thrones, and they contemplate God's divine judgment. So that is the first ring of the angels, the top three, in the first top three of the choirs of angels. And then the second rank of angels consists of dominations, virtues, and powers. The second rank of angels, according to the Thomistic theologians and the scholastics, these ranks of angels are responsible for the universe and the order of creation, and to help govern the laws of nature. The dominations, that name signifies authority, and they receive direct commands from the higher angels, from the virtues. And then, that actually they command activities over the virtues. So then comes the virtues, and they in turn, it says, help govern the celestial bodies, such as the planets and the stars. That is the role of the virtues, the rank of angels, the choir of angels called the virtues, oversee the celestial bodies, such as I mentioned, planets and stars. And then the powers. The powers prevent evil influences from infiltrating and disrupting the good order of divine providence. So that is the second level of three choirs. And then finally, the last three, principalities, archangels, and angels. And these govern the affairs of the human race. So principalities are concerned with the common good and general welfare of kingdoms, nations, and cities. And then archangels are charged with protecting an individual or multitude of individuals, or giving God special messages to the world, such as the angel Gabriel giving a message to our Blessed Mother, asking her if she would be the Mother of God. And then angels, usually known as guardian angels, protect individuals and help protect us spiritually and at times even physically. Now, since today is the feast day of the archangels, Saints Michael, Saint Gabriel, and Saint Raphael, let's just take a moment to look at each of these saints. Each of the saints has a title given to them by God. Michael means one who is like unto God. Gabriel means the strength of God. And Raphael means the healing of God. Whenever you see the EL at the end of a name, that represents the name of God. For example, El Shaddai, or El Hoim, El Shaddai, God of power, Elohim. The EL represents God, so Mikael, or Michael, means one who is like unto God. When I went to college at Christendom, back in the 1980s, one of my roommates was named Michael. And I said, what should I call you, Mike or Michael? He said, always call me Michael, because that means one who is like unto God, rather than Mike, which means one who is like. And so today he's been a monk in a monastery for the last 25 years. So this beautiful name, Michael, means one who is like unto God. And he is venerated as the head of the heavenly armies. He's a patron saint of soldiers, the military, firefighters, and police officers. St. Michael the Archangel appeared in Italy, in Gargano. If you ever have a chance to go to Italy, near the shrine of St. Padre Pio is the cave of St. Michael the Archangel. And you can go down the basilica steps where they built the basilica into the side of the mountain, into the cave. They can have mass there. A magnificent shrine, the cave of St. Michael the Archangel in Gargano, Italy. So devotion to St. Michael spread throughout Europe. We think of beautiful places like Mont Saint-Michel on the near the coast of Normandy, and named after, of course, St. Michael the Archangel. And St. Michael is mentioned in the book of Daniel, and he is the patron saint of the chosen people, the Jewish people. And so we should especially pray to St. Michael the Archangel for the conversion of our Jewish brothers and sisters to the fullness of God's revelation revealed to us by Jesus Christ. Next, St. Gabriel. St. Gabriel, his name means the strength of God. He is the angel of the Annunciation. He's also found in the book of Daniel, and he's the one who came to Zechariah and told Zechariah that if he was willing, he would bear a son who would become the precursor of the Lord. So St. Gabriel was very active in the New Testament, appearing to Zechariah in the temple, then appearing to our Blessed Mother at the Annunciation, asking her if she would give God a human nature, if she would say yes to God. And when Mary said yes, the incarnation took place. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The tradition is that St. Gabriel was our Blessed Mother's guardian angel, and that it was St. Gabriel who revealed to Joseph to take the child and flee to Egypt. So St. Gabriel was very active in the life of Our Lady and St. Joseph. It's also been a beautiful tradition that since Gabriel could have been the Blessed Mother's guardian angel, that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and needed someone to comfort him, Our Lady could not go herself, so she sent her guardian angel, St. Gabriel, to comfort the Lord and to help him to drink the chalice of suffering that the Heavenly Father wanted him to drink. Again, it's a beautiful thought that St. Gabriel could have been Our Lady's guardian angel, and that many of the saints have reflected that the angel in Gethsemane was perhaps St. Gabriel sent by our Blessed Mother to strengthen the Lord. And then St. Raphael, which means the healing of God. St. Raphael is mentioned in the book of Tobit, and he was sent as a fellow traveler to help Tobias and to help with healing and to help Tobias marry his wife Sarah. And so he's the patron saint of travelers as well as of healing. So these archangels are very important in the role of the church and in scripture and in the role of our daily life. Now, of course, what about our own guardian angels? How can we develop a greater relationship with our guardian angels? Well, many of the saints, like Thomas Aquinas and others, say that we should try to grow in respect and awareness of the presence of our guardian angels. We should show devotion to them and develop a personal relationship with our guardian angels, because they are a special sign of God's love for each one of us, that He loves us so much that He assigns an angel to us to help us to get to heaven. But if we ignore the guardian angel, that angel does not have as much influence on us. The more we talk to our guardian angel, the more we communicate, and the more we develop the relationship with our guardian angel, the stronger influence that angel will have over our lives. So we should show loving devotion and reverence and respect for our guardian angel. And then we should have confidence in their intercession and in their protection. Now, when does God give us a guardian angel? We don't know for sure. Many theologians say that it's probably given at the moment of conception. Pope Benedict said that. He believed that from the moment that human life begins, even for those who are not baptized, that every person in the human race, according to Pope Benedict, said that every person has a guardian angel, not just the baptized. So is the guardian angel given at conception or at birth? We don't know. Some of the theologians have said that while the child is in the womb, the child is protected by the mother's guardian angel. When the child is born, then is given its own guardian angel. We don't know. Maybe the guardian angel is given at the moment of conception. That's my personal opinion. But no matter when it is, that angel is there to help us throughout our entire life to get to heaven. So we should listen to the inspiration of our guardian angels and begin each day asking the intercession of our guardian angels. Some people have said, is it a good idea to give a name to our guardian angel? That's up to you. Many people find it very helpful to give a name to their guardian angel so they can actually refer to the angel as a particular name or a particular spiritual person. I had a friend of mine that he told me, Father, I named my guardian angel Houston. I said, well, that's an interesting name. Why did you do that? He said, because when I get into trouble, I say, Houston, we've got a problem. So if it's helpful to you, you can give a name to your guardian angel. Now, let me just conclude with some very practical suggestions on what we should do to have a greater relationship with our guardian angel and with Mary's legion of angels, who are our spiritual air force helping us in this battle. First of all, every day, say the angel of God prayer. What a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer really for a child. But remember what Jesus says, unless we are converted and become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So every day I'd recommend begin your day with the guardian angel prayer. You remember how it goes. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light, to guard, to rule and guide. Those four things. So we see that the angel is a gift of God's love to each one of us, and it's given to us for those four reasons. To enlighten us, to enlighten our mind, to know God and to know His truth and to have wisdom and discernment and guidance. And then the angel is there to guard us, to protect us, obviously from spiritual and physical harm, hopefully. And then to rule over us, we're called to listen to the inspiration of our guardian angels, and then to listen and obey. And it's really through silence and prayer that we can listen to the inspiration of our guardian angels. And then to guide us, to direct us, to know God's will and to do it in our life. So as a practical suggestion from this week of prayer and fasting, and from today's feast day, I encourage you every day to say the angel of God prayer. Go back to your childhood, and you probably said it then. We should be saying it every single day. And say it with your morning offering. Your morning offering is the prayers we say when we wake up, offering all of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to Jesus through our Blessed Mother. It's important to give our first thoughts to God when we wake up. As the great Bishop Sheen said, there are two types of people that wake up every day. The first half of the world says, good morning, God. The second half of the world says, good God, morning. So make sure you are good morning, God, people, and say your morning offering and your prayer to your holy guardian angel. Second, try to pray the Angelus at least once a day. The Angelus means the prayer of the angel, and only takes a few moments. Traditionally, it's said at 6 in the morning, 12 noon, or 6 at night. But I recommend at least say it at least once a day, the Angelus. In the Angelus, we recall the words of St. Gabriel the Archangel to our Blessed Mother. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Behold, Mary says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we say the Angelus every day, we take a moment to pause and to dedicate the day, that moment, to God and recall the great event of the Incarnation, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Number three, make sure you pray your rosary every day. Say the rosary each day. The rosary really is the prayer of the angels, because the angels are implicitly mentioned in the Our Father, and of course the Hail Mary is the angelic salutation. And in the rosary we say the Hail Mary, 50 times. And we're recalling the words of the angel Gabriel to Our Lady, and many of the saints like Louis de Montfort and others have said that every time we pray a Hail Mary, it gives Our Lady such great joy because she remembers the moment of the Annunciation. And it gives Our Lady such great joy every time we pray one Hail Mary. But the Our Father also implicitly includes the idea of the angels. It was when Jesus taught the Our Father, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, who was in heaven at that time? Only the good angels, the holy angels. The gates of heaven were still closed at that time. Jesus had not yet died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. So when it says on earth as it is in heaven, that we want to do God's will, he's referring to the angels who did God's will. The good angels did God's will lovingly, willingly, readily, and really beautifully. And so when we say that prayer, we're saying, "Lord, may we do your will on earth as the angels are doing your will in heaven, loving you, serving you, obeying you, and doing it readily, willingly, and lovingly." And then when we say the rosary, many of the decades include the angels. The Annunciation, the angel Gabriel coming to Our Lady. The birth of Christ, where the angels told the shepherds that the Messiah was born. The agony in the garden, where the angel comes to comfort Christ. The resurrection, where the angel tells them that Jesus is risen from the dead, tells the holy women, where the angels are at the tomb. The ascension, after Jesus ascended, an angel appeared and says, "What are you looking up into heaven for? Go back and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit." And of course, we think of the angels taking Our Lady's body up into heaven at the Assumption, and the angels crowning Our Lady as Queen of Heaven and Earth. So the angels are all throughout the Holy Rosary. And then I would suggest pray the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel at least once a day. If you go to daily Mass, say the prayer to Saint Michael after Mass to yourself, unless your parish happens to pray it publicly. I would suggest that in this day and age of the Church, we need the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel more than ever. We need intercession of Saint Michael for the cleansing, purification, transformation, and healing of the Church. So every time you go to Mass, after Mass, say the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. Pope Leo XIII recommended it and asked that it be said at the end of every Mass. And if you don't have it at your own parish, you could talk to your pastor, talk to your priest, and say, "Father, would you prayerfully consider saying the prayer to Saint Michael at the end of every daily Mass, for example?" Ask respectfully, ask prayerfully, ask humbly, and say, "Father, just think about it, pray about it, and if you can do this, offer it. We can offer it for the conversion of our country and for the needs of the Church and the cleansing and healing of the Church in this modern times." And so you can, maybe he'll add it after every daily Mass. Many parishes even have it on Sunday Masses. At the end of every Sunday Mass, after the final blessing and the final prayer, before the hymn, many parishes say the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. We need it more than ever. These are difficult times in the world, difficult times in the church. We need the intercession, especially of St. Michael the Archangel. So those are some practical suggestions. Every day, say the Angel of God prayer. Pray the Angelus at least once a day. Say your rosary every day with a special attention to the role and the presence of angels in the rosary. And then pray the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel every day or every Sunday after you go to Mass, either privately or if your parish does it, then do it as a group. So let's end now by praying that prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And through the intercession of the holy angels, especially your guardian angel, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Thank you so much, everyone.